Good afternoon and welcome to America Back on Track here on the Quality News Network. It's Monday, October the 8th. No new book from Clarence Thomas this week. I'm your correspondent, Tony Seaton. We'll try and fill in the gaps. I knew a number of people who were airline pilots for the major 747s and those kinds of planes. They said that if they didn't fly for 2 weeks, they felt rusty. Isn't that amazing? They could do it for years and years and years. That's the way I feel after a weekend. Coming up today in our first half hour, Bob Summerbee will be with us. He's got a howler. He's the site person for the Daily Howler. He writes about politics. He's been doing so for over a quarter century now. And he used to write for the Baltimore Sun. Alexander Analek is going to be with us. He's going to be talking about travel. The airlines are reporting just disastrous on-time performances. They'd probably do better if they just let their planes in the hangars. And also, we want to talk to him about what happened to the woman at the Phoenix airport. Today's Seat Notes is on the issue of being a terrorist or a student or both here in this country, at Yale, in fact. Interesting story from last year. Our quote of the day is from Albert Camus, who said, "Mistaken ideas always end in bloodshed, but in every case, it's someone else's blood. That's why some of our thinkers feel free to say just about anything." Some observations on the news. General Petraeus. Don't send me angry letters. Just wait. Now you can send one. General Petraeus continues to betray us. He is the point man in a political campaign designed to lead us into war with Iran. A Reuters headline yesterday read, "Petraeus says Iran stoking Iraq violence." In fact, it is this treasonous general who is stoking the violence against Iran. He may not get his way, however. The top brass, his boss, the people who are the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Admiral Fallon, head of CENTCOM, are opposed to attacking Iran in large measure because our military is already stretched too thin. Now, doesn't it say something about Petraeus that is not as important to him as playing politics with the Bush boy? Also, three intelligence reports are due to come out shortly, which will downplay the danger from Iran, the need to attack them, and will upplay the negative consequences such an action would bring. It suggests that the intelligence agencies are not in bed with Cheney Bush, not to that extent. It's tough keeping those Iraqi leaders in line, one nation at a time. Their national security advisor declared Friday that he strongly opposes any military attack on Iran and, in fact, said such an idea shouldn't even be considered. Okay, now this gets a little complicated since the Shiite regime in Iraq is obviously aligned, at least somewhat, with the Shiites who dominate Iran. So they wouldn't want to have an attack. Of course, they and we aren't going in the same direction. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Maliki disputed testimony delivered before Congress last week by his former corruption investigator who is seeking asylum in the United States, and for good reason, the former head of the Iraq Commission on Public Integrity. Boy, is that that Iraq Commission on Public Integrity told a House committee hearing that corruption is rampant in that country and that the Maliki government and their cronies have blocked investigations and murdered investigators and their families. At least $18 billion is unaccounted for. And that's a big at least. The lead in the Washington Post this morning was about Iraqi leaders saying there will be no reconciliation of the different factions. The hatred among the Kurds, Shiites, and Sunnis apparently overrides their Iraqness. Britain announced that it will pull out half of its 5,000 troops by next spring, saying that they've been able to hand over control to the Iraqis. Quick, get out, shut the door. A British think tank reports that the war on terror is not only failing, but by invading Iraq, the U.S. actually created a training ground for Islamic extremists. The U.S. military chief prosecutor in Guantanamo has resigned. He asked to be reassigned because he couldn't stand reporting to the person above him. New Mexico Senator Pete Domenici announced that this would be his last term last week. He will be gone in January of 2009. His office announced that he has a progressive brain disease. I don't think he'd probably like the word progressive, not that Republican. Anyway, this progressive brain disease means that he can have speech problems or behavioral problems or both. We wonder if we've seen those already. A survey by the New York Times of state lotteries finds that the actual delivery of money to schools is quite small. Only 1 to 5% of the K through 12 funding comes from the lotteries. Most of the billions goes for the gaming itself, including management costs, marketing, prizes, and sales commissions. More than 40 states now have the games, many of them launched with pitches that the locals shouldn't want their lottery money going to the states next door. Two other issues of note. One is that instead of supplementing state education budgets, the lottery revenues are often used to replace regular state allocations, which allows the legislators and the governor, to shift funds away from the schools and not provide a net increase as is implied. Another problem is that the instant lotteries that are very popular apparently tend to feed addictive personalities. And this note, another one of those take-your-breath-away stories at an elementary school on the campus of Grambling State University in Louisiana. Students were being taught about racism in the wake of the Gina 6 rally. In one exercise, teachers placed a noose around the neck of a kindergartner. No word on if the tar had been heated and the feathers plucked already. They have to put me in charge. Coming up in 2 minutes and a couple of seconds, Bob Summerby. He is the editor of the Daily Howler. He'll be with us. Stay tuned. You're listening to America Back on Track on the Quality News Network.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for. Quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping. Charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater. A cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now, in 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission. Mary Knoll.
Back, America Back on Track. And if you want more information about the people and the subjects about whom we speak and with whom we speak and those sort of things, you go to QNNAmerica.com and we have links to all the people who are interviewed on this broadcast. If you have a suggestion or a question, you have but to send an email to info@QNNAmerica.com and we will respond promptly. Joining us now by telephone is Bob Summerby. He is the editor, the voice, the writer of the Daily Howler. He's been around for a while. On his site, it explains that Howler is either, one, a stupid and ridiculous logical blunder, as in, what a howler, or it is one that howls, or perhaps it should be one who howls. I guess it's depending on if it's an animal or a person. Welcome, Bob.
Welcome. It's great to be here. That came right out of the dictionary.
Yeah, well,
you can't blame me for it.
Yeah, well, you can't trust those, you know, like books and stuff. And there you are, a Harvard graduate, class of 1969. You go to Bollemer, of all places. What attracted you to Bollemer?
I came here as an elementary school teacher in the fall of 69. I taught in the Baltimore City Schools for 12 years. And I'm still here.
And you wrote articles starting in 78 for The Sun. By the way, I dated a girl when you got to Baltimore. I don't think it was cause and effect. She was from Baltimore and we visited a couple of times. Her father had owned the Gaiety Burlesque, which was a big deal in Baltimore, I understand. Maybe before your time.
Well, no, I recognize the name, but, I can't give you more than that. There was such a place. You weren't lied to.
That's probably quite enough. You were described as one of Washington's most popular topical comedians. The National Journal Hotline recently called you one of the top political consumer comedians of our time, and I congratulate you on that. You get important information out with humor, and it's probably the best way to do it these days.
Well, I was a popular comedian in Washington until I started doing the Daily Howler, and I think my popularity has gone down over the last... I started in 98. I was a very early political website. And, you know, it's kind of an awkward contradiction because the Daily Howler, it's not a humor site. It's a straight analysis site, an analysis of the work of the mainstream press corps. And, boy, if there's one way to become less popular among the mainstream press corps than by analyzing the mainstream press corps, I don't know what it is.
Well, I think it's a credit to you that you offend them because they haven't been doing their job.
No, and it's gone back a long ways. You know, and for a lot of liberals in particular, currently on the liberal web, there's a lot of press criticism that goes on. Some of it's very good, some of it isn't very good, but there's a lot of it out there. And a lot of liberals came to this discussion around the time that Iraq started. And for a lot of people who are very involved right now on the liberal side of the line, their notions of the press corps failing starts around 2002. In fact, the press corps has just been a disaster going well back beyond that. I mean, I've done most of my work on their coverage of the 2000 presidential campaign. From a liberal perspective, from an American perspective, the Washington elite press corps is a disaster. It has been a disaster. It's getting worse. And I just think people have to come to understand the dynamic of that a little better. And they don't always love it when you point these things out.
It's terribly important, and it has been going on for years. I left ABC in 1980 because they were just more focused on the sizzle than the steak. And the quality of the journalism was, it just slid down and down and down, and that's, we're talking 20, almost 30 years ago.
Yeah, and you know, there's another big thing that's gone on, and I think, you know, many people are aware of this, but, and you probably have a perspective on this, there's been such an aggressive line of conservative criticism of the mainstream press corps going back 40 years, and by the way, when this started in the 60s, I'm not an expert on the press coverage of the 1960s, but I would guess the conservatives had some pretty serious beefs back in the 1960s about some of the political press coverage. People have heard for the last 45 years that the press corps is driven by liberal bias. To the extent that that may have been true in the 60s, that stopped being true a long time ago, but it's the greatest propaganda argument of the last 50 years. People have heard it forever. The liberal perspective has not been heard very much, and there's still a tremendous imbalance in what people think of when they think of the political press corps, I think for that reason.
It drives me nuts when my conservative friends talk about that liberal New York Times, and I point out that they came out against the Iraq war months after several Republican senators did.
Yeah. the liberal New York Times is where all the mistaken reporting about President Bill, about candidate Bill Clinton started back in 92. If you look at the relentlessly negative coverage of major Democrats over the last 15 years, meaning first Clinton, then for 2 years, just the savage treatment of Gore in campaign 2000, that all came out of the New York Times and the Washington Post. It did not come from Matt Drudge. It did not come from Fox News. It came from the big mainstream elite organs, which are increasingly Republican, increasingly corporate-driven, and increasingly multimillionaires. When you put on the television Sunday morning and watch our Sunday morning talk shows, you're watching a bunch of multimillionaires. They're very careful not to tell you about their incomes and their lifestyles. They talk about everyone else's lifestyles. They're very careful not to discuss their own. They're a fatuous, overpaid, overpraised bunch of fops, and they stopped doing their jobs long ago, and they're part of a Washington upper-class establishment that is not liberal. It's not intelligent. It doesn't do its job. And, and I just don't think liberals have begun to define the press corps as it really exists, as opposed to how it may have existed 45 years ago.
And we'll be back with more with Bob Somerby right after these messages.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking.
So what do you look for when you decide where you're going to put all your millions?
Well, I haven't printed up enough to put it in the bank yet, but I guess for convenience, and pretty much it's like a grocery market. You get to meet the people there, and you build a little rapport with some of them.
You know, it's a local bank, but it's part of a network of local banks that give you big bank services.
Everything that I need as far as banking is concerned, they have it. Online banking is great for me. So I just like the services that they offer.
You ever taken your dog Cindy to the bank?
As a matter of fact, when I went to open my account, she was with me.
Ah!
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a horse come through one of these days. We got a lot of cowboys come in and out of here, too.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
Are you one of so many people who wish they could wake up in the morning and look at the clock without fumbling for glasses first? I've got news for you. Your wish can come true. Most cases of nearsightedness, farsightedness, and astigmatism can be corrected by the laser procedure known as LASIK. Now, is this procedure without risk or guaranteed? No, but complications are extremely rare, and the outcomes are almost always positive. And if your results aren't exactly as expected, you can be retreated in most cases for no additional cost. You should be realistic about your expectations, though, especially if you're over 40, because unless you have what's called monovision, you will still need your glasses for reading. See your eye doctor about LASIK. I'm Dr. Nancy Eklund.
The preceding message on eye care by Dr. Nancy Eklund has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your eye doctor.
We're back, America Back on Track, talking with Bob Somerby. Bob, I was interested in your putting the date on the 60s. Obviously, that was still mostly pre-television news. I mean, it was there, but it wasn't quite, and didn't have quite the effect. And what it raises for me is this issue about whether or not when someone covers change in society, and we had the civil rights movement, anti-war movement, sexual revolution, women's liberation, consumerism, environmentalism, that obviously any time one is covering change, it might look as though it's backing it, supporting it, when in fact often it's just reporting it.
Yeah, well, let me tell you why I say what I say what I said about the press coverage of the 60s. And again, I'm not an expert on the press coverage of the 60s. If you read Teddy White's iconic book, The Making of the President, 1960, about the Kennedy Nixon race, mm-hmm. One of our most historic presidential races, he spends about 7 pages describing the press corps' coverage of the campaign. And Teddy White was a press man himself. He defended the press, but he described the press. I mean, and it's almost laughable in retrospect. He described the press corps on the Kennedy plane engaging in ludicrous misconduct, flying around the country, singing satirical songs about Nixon along with Kennedy staffers, and he describes President candidate Kennedy's pandering to the press corps. White himself didn't think it was pandering, but it's pretty clear reading it from today. Kennedy was pandering to journalists, and he says that Kennedy's treatment of the press corps colored all the reporting that came off the Kennedy plane. Now, interestingly, if you move up 40 years to the 2000 campaign, and you read that passage from White from 1960, it sounds just like descriptions of the press corps' conduct in campaign 2000, except now we're talking about how was the press behaving on the McCain bus and later on the Bush plane. And it's the same conduct 40 years later, but the political loyalties have switched. I would think that if the press corps was behaving that way in 1960, it's reasonable to assume that Republicans or conservatives might have had some gripes, and I'm sure Goldwater almost certainly got very negative coverage. Beyond that, I'm not an expert, but what Teddy White described the press corps doing in 1960 is exactly like what was described in 2000. But in 1960, they were siding with the Democrat Kennedy, and in 2000, they were in love with McCain and later pandering to Bush, and they hated Al Gore. It just could not be more obvious, and they made no bones about it.
It was very personal.
Incredible. And it went on for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I think, again, many liberals, young liberals who came into the debate with Iraq, simply don't understand how George Bush got to the White House in the first place. And the coverage that went on in that two-year campaign is absolutely a scandal. It came right out of the Clinton impeachment. The press corps had reached a state of frenzy by the time of the Clinton impeachment trial. 3 weeks later, Gore began campaigning. This is March 99. They landed on him like a ton of bricks. They never stopped making up ridiculous stories about him. He may win the Nobel Peace Prize this year, and the Washington Post still ridicules him every chance they get. They are simply a fatuous upper-class elite at this point. They've lost all contact with reality, and they've done tremendous damage to liberal and Democratic Party interests. I wouldn't favor them doing this to Republicans either, but it's been pretty clear which personalities they've been beating up on over the last 15 years. It's a far cry from the days when they were flying around singing satirical songs with Kennedy staffers.
Bob, do you think that they're beating up people who are, it's not about being liberal so much as it's being perhaps perceived as weak and not macho?
Oh, boy. I mean, that's certainly the imagery that they use. The Democrats are persistently portrayed as being feckless, flip-floppers, soft on everything, and this has gone on for a long time. But this is standard Republican imagery. There's no question that much of the imagery that drives press coverage comes out of the RNC. I mean, if you look at the coverage of Gore in 2000, over and over, storylines, unflattering language come straight out of the RNC. You can actually trace this now because of electronic search engines. They go straight out of the RNC, straight into the mainstream press corps. So much of the way that the mainstream press corps defines and discusses campaigns now comes straight from the RNC. I don't really know. I've been doing this every day for 10 years. I still find their conduct so puzzling. I can't even begin to imagine what goes through their mind. But these are people who are part. These are careerists. They're part of a very upscale career cohort. They get paid a lot of money. They're very famous. These are very good jobs. No one's going to blow them. And they get in line with conventional wisdom of their group. And that has not been pro-liberal, pro-democratic over the last 15 years. It's very much tilted the other way. Now, what they actually think or believe, I have no idea. But they get in line with these storylines and never give them up. Al Gore said he invented the Internet. Well, no, he didn't.
Minor point. Let's not let facts stand in the way of opinion.
Oh, absolutely. In that campaign, they endlessly made up silly narratives like that, insulting, unflattering, one after another after another. They still get repeated to this day. I mean, many liberals still don't know that those were all just made up. I mean, it's a hard story to convey to someone because it's so counterintuitive.
Yep.
to think that a group of professionals behaves this way. This is how the press corps works today.
Bob, we're going to take another break. We'll be back with Bob Summerby. He is the Daily Howler. Right after these messages, you're tuned to America Back on Track.
Did you know 1 billion adults around the world cannot read? Two-thirds are women, many prohibited from learning. The rate of illiteracy is declining, but the number who can't read has been increasing. These are more than just numbers, they're people. They're your friends, neighbors, and even your family. Consider these numbers. In America, if you didn't speak English in your home, you're 44% more likely to be reading below the most basic level. If you didn't complete high school, the chances are good that you can't read. 85% of prisoners are illiterate, as are the kids who wind up in juvenile court. Here are the facts. If you can read, you can learn, get a better job, and make more money. If you can't read, you can't learn, you can't find a good job, you can't make a decent living. Choose smart. Learn to read. If you're out of school, find a literacy program through your local library.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
We're back. America Back on Track, and we're talking with Bob Summerby, the Daily Howler. Bob, one of the things that's so offensive to me as a journalist is that if you do raise issues, for instance, against Bush, not only are you unpatriotic, but you're a liberal. And I founded the Quality News Network, and I started America Back on Track because I felt that there was the country wasn't being addressed. Wasn't there our citizens' needs to be informed in a clear way? Wasn't being addressed by the mainstream media. Certainly the blogosphere isn't going to do that. And we're really in a crisis. People don't know what happened in Iraq. A recent Newsweek poll said 33% still think there were WMDs and that Saddam was responsible for 9/11.
You know, it's astounding. Anytime you see information surveys, not opinion polls, anytime you see information surveys about what the public knows, what facts the public knows, I mean, it's just astonishing. For myself, I'm not quite as flabbergasted as others sometimes are when I see those figures about Iraq and WMD, and because over the years I've tried to keep track of other such information. At any given time, it's astounding what facts the public or large chunks of the public doesn't know. On the other hand, our discussion, our public discussion, is so inane. I mean, when you watch, especially, you know, nothing's more inane than cable, quote unquote, cable news, which is really just a bunch of organizations that are longing for tabloid stories to come along so they can stop talking about news and start talking about about them. You know, they're
Excuse
never
me.
More thrilled than when OJ gets arrested and they get to stop talking about serious things.
Right.
But to watch the discussion that goes on, just for example, the discussion about quote unquote supporting the troops that's gone on over the last several years. I mean, it's just heartbreaking to see how much serious discussion gets sidetracked by these silly formulations that just are out there to misdirect serious discussion. But these are very powerful forces, and I will say again, I hate to sound like a one-trick pony here. The RNC has been very skillful in the last 15. They put a lot of effort and a lot of research into this. They do research on ways to sidetrack discussion and take discussion off track. And this is, does not happen by accident, and it's easy to distract our press corps because our press corps isn't very sharp, and they're not really interested in doing their jobs anyway. They always seek the path of least resistance, and the most screaming and yelling at the press has come from the right over the last 25 years. So it's a nightmare. I mean, it's just to watch the way our public debates are run. I mean, how many times are we going to hear how much John Edwards paid for that haircut? I mean, could anything be stupider than that? But they love, if it's stupid, they love it. And, you know, nothing works like stupid. And endlessly our discussions get dragged off into discussion. Why won't Hillary Clinton choose between the Cubs and the Yankees? I mean, Russert and Broder, the biggest people in Washington News, are actually sitting around the last few weeks acting like that's a serious question. To watch them, I've been doing this 10 years. I'm dumbfounded by it. I can't imagine what goes through their mind. You have to search science fiction for metaphors for these people. I mean, it's hard to believe they're human.
I think that part of what goes on is what I have Stone warned against, that you can't play tennis with people you're covering. And when I was at ABC in the 70s, Tom Jarrell would do his stand-uppers framed from the waist up in a suit and tie, and when the camera widened out after he'd finished, you'd see he was there in tennis shorts and getting ready to dump the coat and tie and go play tennis with someone from the White House.
Yeah.
And it gets, you can't maintain your objectivity. And also, I think, as you point out, these people who are getting seven-figure salaries or with the perky one, eight figures, these are the same people. They're not in touch with what's going on in this country.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is so important. It's never discussed. Let me give you an example that I think is the most interesting case of this in our current news environment. That's the NBC News division that was assembled by Jack Welch, the head of GE, during the 90s when GE owned NBC News, and Jack Welch assembled a news team. Jack Welch is a conservative Republican. Nothing wrong with that. Everyone, you want to be a conservative Republican? That's okay. He was also the head of GE. He's a near billionaire and a conservative Republican. He put together a news division largely of East Coast Irish Catholics like himself, you know, sort of people from close to the sod. I'm talking about Tim Russert at the head of Meet the Press, Brian Williams at the head of Nightly News, Chris Matthews the face of the cable affiliate. Matthews and Russert own multi-million-dollar homes on Nantucket, right down the road from Jack Welch. They go to the club together. This is never discussed.
Yeah.
These guys are out on Nantucket on the weekends hobnobbing with Jack Welch, who may be a very nice guy, but he's a near billionaire conservative Republican, now former CEO of GE. This is the social networking that's going on. They never discuss it. They don't want the public to know about it. Of course the public would start to feel a little different about the reporting they were doing, and no one beat on Gore for 2 years the way Williams and Matthews and occasionally Russert did. No one beat on Gore.
Bob, we're going to have to cut it off there. I'd like you to come back real soon so that we can get into this in even more depth.
Sure.
Bob Summerby, the Daily Howler, an excellent voice for America. Thank you very much for being with us today, Bob.
Thank you.
And we will be back with more right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Looking to find the best in the USA? Come to Boulevards.com. We're the best address and city guides across the U.S. For the best information in travel, Boulevards.com gives you the most up-to-date choices for the best in dining, hotels, entertainment, adventure, and exciting tips to make your holiday the best it can be. Whether you're a local or just looking for great getaway tips, go to Boulevards.com and get the best. Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. We're Boulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
As the world moves to the Internet for marketing, promotion, sales, and communications, it is important to stake out your presence, your business, or yourself in an effective way. The people at Byte Technology know how to define your best self on the web so that people who know you and those who will want to can get a clear picture of who you are and what you have to offer. Byte Technology will design your website so that you will attract new customers and keep your current client base engaged and informed. As McLuhan said, the medium is the message. And never was that more true than in the new Internet commerce world. Whatever your business, selling products or services, to the general public or to a niche market, you need a presence that smart people, the people who make the best customers, can find quickly and understand immediately. Byte Technology will custom produce such a site for you. Byte Technology. See the difference at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
We'll be back, America Back on Track, and joining us is, again, Alexander Analek of Travelaw. Alexander, you have a cold, I understand.
Yeah, I took a flu shot, and they work. They give you the flu within 3 days.
I thought you might have been on a plane where all the germs are flying around, so to speak.
That's another story for another day, isn't it?
I'm sorry you're under the weather. First of all, why did you decide to get a flu shot? Are you over 70 or something?
Well,
no.
May not look it from my pictures, but I'm 68. The doctor suggested it. If he's wearing a white coat, he's a doctor. Of course, I believe in what he says.
You know, that's a big problem. I once went to a Mazda dealership, the service area, when I was living in the Bay Area. This was in San Francisco, and the guy who was the head of service wore a white lab coat, had a white pocket, you know, plastic pocket protector, and I would have taken pills if he had offered them to me. But we shouldn't listen
in
to them.
In San Francisco, you usually get pills with your cars.
Indeed, indeed. The airlines had another disastrous reporting month in terms of on time. They'd be better off just leaving their planes at the gate and having the passengers get on and off and walking to wherever they're supposed to go.
No, but we need some government regulation. We need a passenger rights bill. The Europeans, who used to laugh at our consumer protection, are now so far ahead of us. You're on the tarmac for X amount of hours. You're supposed to be taken care of. You're a consumer. They have the privilege to fly the plane, and they ought to recognize that.
Well, the Bush boy the other day said that he thought that this was an unfortunate thing. I don't know the last time he flew commercially, but is that just swatting at flies? It's his government. He could do something about it if he wanted.
Well, that's... When I heard him say it, I was excited to hear somebody other than myself and some of the consumer advocates say it. And the one who has to listen is the Department of Transportation. They're telling me they're not getting enough complaints, and they can't be reading the newspapers. They can't be looking at television and saying that people aren't exempt. Maybe the consumer doesn't know what the DOT is and how to make a complaint.
Well, also, if they were doing their job, they wouldn't have to be doing outreach, as you say. They could just read the headlines or check the online, the arrival and departure times and see that they're, what, 67% or something?
Yeah, 70%. But you're starting to use common sense, Tony, and haven't I warned you about that in the travel industry before?
Dang, dang. I need some more of those pills, I guess. I was speaking to, I can't remember her first name, Karen, I think, Hanai, who's got a new organization. She was very upset about things a week or so ago. And I made a suggestion to her, which she thought made a lot of sense, and that is, it's very clear to me that this is a scheduling issue, and that if more flights were scheduled for the off hours, I don't know, weekends, overnights, you'd know better than I, evenings, then there would be less of a congestion problem. Isn't that true?
Well, we already have like 20% less domestic because they're using the planes for the more cost-benefiting international flights. So the fewer flights they have with the smaller planes are all at the same departure. Everybody wants to leave at a 8, a 7, a 6. And what the government has to do is say, all right, I am going to regulate because you can't regulate itself, and there will only be so many, and let them do it as they have in the past with a raffle for the Times.
And then let them take off at 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning or something.
Whatever it is, they can't all take off at the same time. That's more of a security risk, and it's unrealistic when the consumer who doesn't know that there's going to be this 70-cent problem is going to count on something, make appointments, and miss them.
I was at ABC at the time that Alfred Kahn, I think, was the one who was involved in the deregulation of the airlines. Who did he put it into the hands of? Did the airlines, or the airlines and the airports solely responsible for the scheduling?
Well, you mentioned a name, and I had to look around my desk here to get the cross to shake it to the vampire, so I wouldn't remember too much of what he did. But he was the father of deregulation.
Yeah.
He thought, let the carriers handle it themselves. And instantly you had some good pricing, but other than that, the big boys ate the little ones, and you have some of the mess you have now. We have competition with Virgin America flying to San Francisco. It was great. Four big airlines right away matched their $44 fare. Southwest comes back to San Francisco, which they said they wouldn't because now they have competition. I like competition. But I also like a responsive government that says when the airlines can't regulate themselves, we need the government to give them an attitude adjustment.
Exactly. Exactly. This is the basic principle in a capitalist system. The reason for government is to rein in the excess of the businesses.
Sure. And that's what's happening. The airlines, when there was going to be a passenger rights bill, you know, during another election, one of the candidates got a $500,000 contribution from American. The bill was taken off the out of the legislature, and we haven't had it since then. So they were supposed to regulate themselves. They haven't. We need to have certain regulations that allow the planes to be safe, but allow our consumers to still have reasonable rights of contract. And it's a privilege, just like your driving privilege. You know how fast that license can be taken care of.
Yep.
It's the same with the planes. They don't have a right to fly. They have a privilege. And part of that privilege is obligation. And obligations mean reasonable services. You're going to be on the tarmac for 3-4 hours. The truck comes to the outside of the plane and empties the toilet. They don't get on the plane with buckets. And at the same time, they can deliver granola bars up north and whatever it is down south, but something that's going to have the passengers know that they have some rights.
Exactly that. I'd like to change gears a little bit. We have 2 minutes left. What was your take on what happened to the Gottbahn woman at Phoenix Airport?
I didn't hear that one, Tony.
The woman in at the Phoenix Airport, Mrs. Gottbahn, what was your take on that?
Refresh me.
She was the woman who was went a little crazy after she missed a flight.
Right. Yeah, that's a simple one because I want to go into this line at the airport to bypass security. There is something known as the Tokyo Convention. It gives omnipotent rights to flight attendants, the pilots, to control anything that looks like a security issue. Every other week, I have somebody arrested because they had the nerve to ask to go to the bathroom. They had the nerve to speak back to a flight attendant who has flight attendant rage and is mouthing off at a passenger. Was it an overreaction? The point was that they have the authority because they don't know whether she is some kind of a nutcase trying to get on that's going to cause a problem. It got carried away. They have the authority to do it. And I even back off a little there saying when they start screaming, yeah, that's when you can start holding them.
But you got to do it in such a way that they don't die.
That is true. The same way with the tasers and everything mm-hmm. else. Real quick, if I can, when I talk to your producer, there's this new line, the clear line at San Francisco,
right,
where you can bypass security by paying $100 a year. In principle, I like it because I'm not iconoclastic. I want to pay more for business. I should do it. But I have some serious security question as to who's asking the question. Unless they're going to be able to politically profile and profile passengers and not be worried about political correctness in San Francisco when it comes to a security line, it's not going to work. If they take those normal security precautions, then there's going to be a line where people can pay more and get to the front of the line, like there is at Disneyland, like there is at business class.
It certainly makes a lot of sense. Alexander, get over your cold, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Anytime, Tony. Love to be with you.
Thank you very much for being with us today on America Back on Track. Alexander Analek. Yeah, you know, I mean, you look at what happened to that woman in Phoenix, and the results were that she died, and she shouldn't have. And you have to work back from there, and you say, oh, it was procedures. You know what? The procedures didn't work. We will be back with Seat Notes right after these messages. Stay tuned. You're listening to America Back on Track.
Have you ever found yourself swatting at a fly no one else sees? Chances are you're seeing what we commonly call a floater. Many people have them and have had them for a while. Floaters are condensed proteins located in the gel-like part of our eyes called the vitreous. As we age, this gel becomes more liquefied, and so whatever debris was once trapped inside is now freer to float around. They are typically harmless, but you should check with your eye doctor if you notice new floaters, especially if they appear after a flash of light, or if you should notice a curtaining effect of your side vision. Otherwise, that squiggly critter you see, especially when you look at a blue sky or a white background, is probably with you for life and should simply be ignored. I'm Dr. Nancy Eklund.
The preceding message on iCare by Dr. Nancy Eklund has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your eye doctor.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher and you tell her you're too tired to look for it, I know. You're very good at keeping the secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep the charade going. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. But I know your secret. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're in big company. Instead of running scared, become a hero in your own family. Find a local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's ear, honey, I can read, just watch how big her smile is.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
Before past the hour, and it is time for Seat Notes. I don't know, I missed the story in March of last year. My God, I spend most of my life reading the news. It was about a controversy created when Yale University admitted Saeed Rahmatullah Hashmi as a special student. He had been a mouthpiece for the Taliban regime in Afghanistan before the U.S. invasion. In March of last year, the New York Times did a piece on him, and this caught the attention of many people both within the university and outside, most of whom seemed angry about the admission. The school issued a brief statement justifying their decision to let the man in, and the matter hasn't really generated any coverage since, at least according to Google. These extra points, Rahmatullah only seemed to speak up once afterwards in an interview with the London Times in which he was described as being snippy, comparing executions of adulterous women in Afghanistan with executions in Texas. And right-wingers also tied the decision to let this fellow in, the commie pinko pansy punk bulldogs weren't allowing ROTC on the campus either. The argument seems to come down to whether or not this man's behavior was so awful as to not be rewarded with a term at Yale, or whether his education at Yale might awaken him to the values of our society, perhaps to the extent that he might proselytize for change among those people who used to be his like-mindeds. Personally, I think all but the most damaged minds would have to open up in such an environment as Yale University, and with New Haven being only 90 minutes by train from New York City. And opening up minds, well, that's a good thing. But how do we know if people exposed to our way of life won't turn on it again? I suppose we don't. On the other hand, what do we risk? Well, there's the very righteous indignation and condemnation of the gross ills perpetrated by the culture that, at least in this case, this young man served, was awful. The Taliban were murderous and brutal and misogynist up to their ears and above. And to compare stoning a woman to death for adultery with the lethal injection of a multiple murderer in Texas doesn't sit terribly well in Western minds, male or female. On the other hand, this young man who grew up in what we see as a violent, anti-intellectual, indeed perverted society, if he can be converted by us rather than we by him, well, that would be a good thing, methinks. It's one of those conundrums, or is it conundra, that isn't easily resolved, at least not with narrow vision. It requires a broader sense of tying history and the future together in an atmosphere not of forgiveness, perhaps, but of quietude, to give those who have committed crimes to demonstrate an uncoerced willingness to raise their consciousness to a level where they would not commit such acts again. We did that with Germany and Japan after World War II. Israel is talking to at least some Palestinians. We have little to risk, and the potential for peace can only grow. And that's Seat Notes for October the 8th. Thanks very much to Bob Summerby of the Daily Howler and our pal Alexander Analuk of Travel Law. Join us again every day, weekday at noon Pacific for more of America Back on Track. And thank you for being with us today. I'm Tony Seaton.
Hueyl-Hauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking.
What are you looking for in your business bank?
Somebody that can offer me services such as car loans, equipment loans, leases, a line of credit.
And do you think because they're local, they understand your needs better than a bigger bank would?
Yes, I think they're really aware of the community and are here to help the small business people.
So it's a local bank with big bank services?
Absolutely. They're here on a regular basis to make sure if there's any other services they can provide, they're here to talk about it.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
We searched out a bank that would have the flexibility and the understanding of our needs and a willingness to spend the time doing that.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank. Hueyl-Hauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking.
What are you looking for in your business bank?
Somebody that can offer me services such as car loans, equipment loans, leases, a line of credit.
And do you think because they're local, they understand your needs better than a bigger bank would?
Yes, I think they're really aware of the community and are here to help the small business people.
So it's a local bank with big bank services?
Absolutely. They're here on a regular basis to make sure if there's any other services they can provide, they're here to talk about it.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
We searched out a bank that would have the flexibility and the understanding of our needs and a willingness to spend the time doing that.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
You're listening to KRML, 1410 AM, Carmel, California. The news from the Quality News Network is next.
This is the Quality News Network. Stocks closed mostly lower today with gold and oil prices falling. There were, though, some bright spots in the tech stocks. We'll have a full report coming up in the business segment. Israeli and Palestinian officials are meeting today to discuss the transfer of Arab parts of Jerusalem to Palestinian control. The Palestinians claim East Jerusalem, which Israel captured in 1967. Iranian students clashed with police over a protest against Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Protesters at Tehran University chanted, "Death to the dictator." Today's protest is the second university incident in less than a year against Ahmadinejad. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown says he will reduce British troop levels in southern Iraq to 2,500, particularly in Basra and the surrounding area, starting next spring. Top Iraqi leaders are pulling back from key U.S. goals in Iraq, a prominent... This is the Quality News Network. Iraqi officials want Blackwater USA security out of Iraq within 6 months. Iraqis also want Blackwater to pay $8 million in compensation to each of the families of the 17 people killed last month in a shootout in a public square. Iranian students clashed with police over a protest against Iran's president, Mohammad Ahmadinejad. Protesters at Tehran University chanted, "Death to the dictator." Today's protest is the second university incident in less than a year against Ahmadinejad. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown says he will reduce British troop levels in southern Iraq to 500, particularly in Basra and the surrounding area, starting next spring. Top Iraqi leaders are pulling back from key U.S. goals in Iraq. A prominent Shiite cleric and parliament member said future reconciliation in Iraq would come naturally from efficient, fair government and not with short-term political engineering among Sunnis and Shiites. Britain's Oxford think tank says America's current war on terror is not working and, in fact, is inspiring an increase in Islamic militancy. The closest ally to the U.S. is urging a new international approach. Stocks closed mostly lower today with gold and oil prices falling. There were, though, some bright spots in the tech stocks. We'll have a full report coming up in the business segment. Israeli and Palestinian officials are meeting today to discuss the transfer of Arab parts of Jerusalem to Palestinian control. The Palestinians claim East Jerusalem, which Israel captured in 1967. Three scientists from the U.S. and Britain have been awarded the Nobel Prize in Medicine for their work in stem cell research. The $1.5 million award is the first of six prizes to be given out this year. According to a statewide newspaper poll of Iowa Democratic voters, U.S. Senator Hillary Clinton holds a decisive lead over her closest competitors for the party's presidential nomination. 29% of those Democrats polled say they would vote for Clinton. Barack Obama and John Edwards place second and third. In Pakistan, President General Pervez Musharraf reportedly won re-election Saturday despite a Supreme Court challenge. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are coming up next.
Looking to find the best in the USA? Come to Boulevards.com. We're the best address in city guides across the U.S. For the best information in travel, Boulevards.com gives you the most up-to-date choices for the best in dining, hotels, entertainment, adventure, and exciting tips to make your holiday the best it can be. Whether you're a local or just looking for great getaway tips, go to Boulevards.com and get the best. Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. We're Boulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
New research shows that the drug anthracyclines used to treat breast cancer may weaken some women's hearts. The drugs are used as a breast chemotherapy staple. A study of breast cancer survivors shows those who used anthracycline were 26% more likely to develop heart failure in the following decade. A study of 9,000 British civil servants, most of them married, shows that those who had the worst personal relationships were 34% more likely to have heart attacks or other heart problems. Another recall of beef patties, agribusiness giant Cargill has also found E. coli contamination in its product. Walmart Sam's Clubs is pulling the beef patties off its shelf. And the Lundberg survey says the average price of gasoline has dropped 4 cents per gallon in the past 2 weeks. The most expensive gas at the pump was recorded in Honolulu, the cheapest in Newark, New Jersey. Search giant Google passed the 600 level for the first time ever early in the session today. Google shares have gained 40% in the last year. Gold is trading down $8.50. Light sweet crude oil is trading at $79.02 a barrel. And on Wall Street today, the Dow Jones closed down 22 points, the NASDAQ was up 7 points, and the S&P 500 down 5 points. You're listening to the Quality News Network. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Okay, don't you stop America, I beg you.
Action Game. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Interesting little weekend, wasn't it? I don't know how I'm supposed to... Because I have given up watching the chicken noodle news and never watch Fox and pretty much given up on the networks because, you know, as we say here in the hills, the truth ain't in them. I've got an idea probably of what's leading the news, but, you know, I never take my lead from what's leading the news, so we'll just cruise on at a pace that I'll set and that you will challenge. And we will find our way through this Monday evening. For my part, I am reminded of what a sheltered existence we middle-aged people live. I don't know where the cutoff was. Once upon a time, I used to keep up with all the music charts and everything, and I could tell you what was hot and what was not and what had just gone bust and what was coming and what was gone and what was... you know, up and down and sideways, and I can't do that anymore. I haven't heard the latest single from Burnt Toast in forever. Burnt Toast is my ubiquitous band that nobody in their right mind would ever listen to. Maybe there really is a band called Burnt Toast. I don't know. I don't know. I think maybe it was long about where the kids started getting a little older. And I would hear what they were listening to, and by the kids, I mean our oldest, the kid.